settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
And welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. This week we'll be discussing developing your gifts of spirit, continuing our little weekly journey into, well, basically anything that you may think that you have that you would like to explore concerning gifts of spirit. Maybe you are developing gifts of spirit and you want some help. Today we're talking about remote viewing. So if you'd like to phone us about our topic for this evening, maybe you want to ask Gregory Hay a question, then if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open. The number to call in the U.S. is toll-free, is 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-810-8322. And if there's anybody, and that's toll-free as well, but if there's anybody on an international number, it's 001-530-876-3222, but unfortunately that's not free. Okay, well, anyway, there you are, Mick. I'll hand you over to my husband.
Thank you very much. And of course, that time is actually, well, the time of now would be around, what, 3 a.m.
Well,
the following day, GMT time.
That's right. Well, there might be somebody that can't sleep.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there's lots of people in Britain and Europe who can't sleep right now.
Who might be tuning in and want to give us a call.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, welcome anyone who is listening. And I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST. We also have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you want to know more about us, our books, our CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services we offer, please do go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teach.com, and we also have another website, which is called www.spiritsworkradio.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and I'm all right. As usual, I'm going to be channeling our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay, who will be taking center stage on the show, or center microphone, as this case may be. I've been working in this way with Gregory for lots of years now. Spirit guide Gregory will borrow my body so he can speak to you, and because it is deep trance, I won't be aware of anything that happened. It's a kind of form of physical mediumship, really. So if you have any questions relating to our subject this week, which is developing gifts of spirit, it is Gregory Hay who you'll be talking to. So I'm going to hand you back over to Sylvie now and prepare to go to sleep. Thank you for the rest of the show. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thanks, Mick.
You're welcome. Really?
Oh, it'd be great when he's gone.
Thank you very much.
Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. They consist of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people who have a valuable input to make. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. It's a huge event in the spirit world when we do this kind of communication. It's not only us on Earth who will be listening, but also thousands of spirit beings in the spirit world who are also listening and watching the experts in the team working in this way. There are those who have had a physical life on Earth, and also those who would like to in the future. which is why, as the mediums for the group, our aim is to offer positive input into exactly why we are here and how we can, with a concerted effort from everybody, restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And as we said, if you want to know more about us, our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. And if you want to phone us and join us on the show tonight, we're talking about remote viewing. Okay, we're not giving readings, but we're talking about remote viewing. And, you know, maybe you're practicing remote viewing. Maybe you want to. Well, this is what it's all about. It's all about interaction and learning. And you can phone up and ask Gregory Hay a question about it, or pass a comment or whatever, and that would be great. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227, and Canada is 888-810-8322. And if there's any international callers still awake, it's 001-530-876-3222. That's not free, though, okay? And also, I'd just like to take this opportunity to say that we will be having our another Akashic Reading Week starting on the 11th of June. Our Monday night, the 11th of June show actually is booked up. But we still have a space left on the 14th of June, which is our Thursday afternoon show. So if you would like a mini Akashic reading, we would need your full name at birth, including a middle name, your date of birth, your telephone number, just in case I lose your email. One question, and email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. And of course, if we get, that we're booked up for those sessions, and we could just put you down for the next round that we're going to do. So that's no problem. So get in touch with us. Okay. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend. With love and light, as always, from our side of life. How wonderful to be here.
Yes.
And bathe in your vibration.
Oh, yes. Yes. In my glow.
In your glowing auric field.
Okay, well. So tonight we're going to be talking about remote viewing. So this is a fascinating subject, actually, that I don't think, well, we hear a lot about, but I don't think I've ever heard a spirit guide's version of what they think about it, really. Because it tends to be, correct me if I'm wrong, like you wouldn't, but...
Oh, really?
It doesn't seem to be that you... It's not particularly anything to do with spirit.
Or yes, well, they would say that, wouldn't they?
Oh, okay. Well, is it... Oh, right then. Well, let's start there. Let's start there.
So, very well.
Do you have to have a gift of spirit? It
helps, yes, most
right.
Certainly so. In fact, remote viewing is a gift of spirit, yes. It is perhaps something which is not really practiced as such, and that perhaps is unfortunate. Remote viewing is, of course, the viewing remotely of something else in the physical world. What you are actually doing is you are using your spirit self to help you to view certain aspects, and of course together with certain guides or helpers who may or may not remain nameless. It doesn't really matter that much for this purpose, although some people of course may like to know and refer to who their guides are who help them with different things, and remote viewing is no different in this respect. I understand that people will become quite curious, perhaps, and that is quite understandable, as human beings are apt to do that. They are curious, nosy, they want to know the ins and outs of everything and the workings of it, which is what we try to do to please those of you who have inquiring minds to do just that. So the situation is, my friends, that in your search, as I say, you may not necessarily be already spiritually aware. So how then could it be, for example, that you would have a person, a human person, having a physical life experience, and they want to begin remote viewing, but they don't think that they have any spirit gifts, or perhaps they don't even recognize anything to do with the spirit world. Does that really matter? In the first place, it doesn't actually, because there are beings who will work with you. You do not have to be especially gifted in this way in order to be able to produce remote viewing. That's the point I have to make, really, that there are those in the spirit world, of course, who will work with almost anyone. And that just because a person creates or has an ability with remote viewing does not necessarily portray that they are an especially spiritual character. Vis-a-vis, it may well be also that the person who is trying to create remote viewing is perhaps very spiritual by nature, but just is not able to control that form or gift of their own spirit divine, quite simply because they have not attuned to it, or perhaps have not asked for it, of the spirit world. You see, not all gifts are there laid out in front of you. You don't necessarily know everything that there is to perceive, or every gift that you may have. So this may come as quite a surprise to you, my dear friend, fellow spirit travelers, that in fact many, many, many people on your side of life have the gift of remote viewing. They just don't know how to access it or use it. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, absolutely. But I'd just like to continue on this for just a few seconds.
Oh, yes, absolutely,
longer.
Of course.
Because it seems like no matter how much research you do on it, it seems that the people that used to do the remote viewing for the military and CIA research programs, which everybody knows about now,
yes,
seem to lay claim of that it was derived strictly by them, and that, you know, and that sort of thing. But
well, they would.
Yes, and obviously they're not going to say that it's anything to do with the spirit world or their spirit or anything.
No, of course not.
So obviously that you know, that sort of blows that out of the water, really, doesn't it?
Yes, we'd like to do that, friend, don't we?
Okay. So, all right then. Well, we'll move on from that.
Oh, if you will.
Well, there's not a lot to say, really, is there, about it? I mean, it's obviously been practiced for a long time. I mean, that was years that was done for that.
I believe it actually began in the 50s.
Something
in the 1950s.
Right.
Something or other.
But obviously people were doing it long before then.
Oh, yes, of course. The point is that is a facet of mediumship development which has been around for a very long time. And, of course, there are seers of all descriptions who have brought this about, who have made contact in this way. But what really we have to identify is what the mechanisms are that are actually put in place that help you to bring this about. The situation begins, of course, with your connection with various guides or whoever that may be. As I say, you don't have to know everyone's name. It isn't the identity that matters. It is the energy that matters. It is whether that person really has a gift to communicate with you or not. If they don't, then they're possibly of the wrong vibration, and you will have to wait for someone else, or maybe possibly sit for it, develop for it, ask of the spirit world to provide you with someone who can help you with this aspect of gift of spirit that you may have. And I'm saying that most people really do have a form of remote viewing. It is really just, I suppose, for a lot of people, that they would put it down to intuitive sense, or somehow that pictures are relayed to them that they know not how exactly, but perhaps they are pictures which are time-orientated, so they won't necessarily be specifically to a known place, but they just may be images, even holographic images of situations in which happen in real time, which are then relayed to you. This is a form of remote viewing as well. So you may actually have a form of psychic experience through this. that you actually have pictures or images of situations elsewhere upon the planet which are actually happening to that person in real time, at your time, of day or night. Elsewhere on the planet, you see.
Okay, hello, caller.
Hello, hi, Mick and Sylvia and Gregory. How are you doing?
Oh, hello, I'm fine. Can you turn up, turn it up, oh, could be. Can you speak up a little bit?
Okay. Gregory, can you tell us how remote viewing is used in the military?
How it is used in the military, my dear friend, is, well, yes, they will actually try to use it to pinpoint certain situations or locations. They could be establishments or installations. They could be situations to do with positions of people, or perhaps to do with the actual requisite of activity and that kind of thing. How this actually works is that much of the remote viewing situation and cycle is due to conscious effort and the linking with the conscious effort of the actual information that you have transferred to you. So it is a matter really of the human person actually trying to make a connection or asking for a connection to be made. Now, they may actually just slide into a slight altered state of consciousness or something like that, and what they will usually do is actually sit down with a pencil and paper or pen or whatever it is they write with, and as soon as the first thought or image begins to materialize in the mind, they begin writing it or drawing it perhaps as a sketch. And they may not have to have their eyes closed at this time, of course. They will just be doing this very rapidly. It is usually something which lasts just a few minutes at any one session, and perhaps maybe 10 or 15 minutes at the outside, but you must understand that this is something which actually can be quite exhausting, or something that would actually be quite frantic to begin with, and until it actually settles down. But I understand that actually if a situation stops, or if the recording or the intake of images that you see when you are connected, if this train of images stops, it is usually that the connection has been broken and you have to stop doing whatever it is that you're doing, because that's the end of the message. Who is it that's giving you this message? That's the point, really, I suppose, that you really want to know. Well, it may well be that the images is being brought through by a spirit helper or someone from the other side of life. It's quite strange, really, that those people in the armed forces or people who were doing remote viewing at certain sensitive times of a different government work, that they would actually create this and a certain sort of sense of ambiance around it, which is of great secrecy. There is really no secrecy to remote viewing at all. Almost anyone can do it. It's just that you have to have the desire or the will to succeed in it. It's something that needs a certain amount of training, that you have to be able to perhaps start off with situations and things which are quite close at hand. So the training would actually be involved in bringing about liaison between yourself and someone else, perhaps in a different room in the same building or in another building across the street or something like that. And what you would do is you would begin by having one person sitting down in this remote place, and you would try connecting psychically with that person. Or you would just sit and wait for the messages to come, for them to send them. And this would be something perhaps that they would begin by drawing symbols or something like that, a tree, a dog, house, fish, boat, whatever it is, you see. And you would just draw simple shapes perhaps to begin with and try to establish a psychic connection or a connection of some form, intuitiveness perhaps you might call it, for that person to actually register those images, to bring them into their mind. Alternatively, you may want to do it quite separate from that and not actually involve someone else in your development in the physical world, but actually just try to open out to the spirit world if you are wanting to employ your spirit gifts in this matter, and you would actually just allow thoughts to come in and really just, as I say, write them out as quick as they come in. So if they're coming in as information or as thoughts, don't pay any attention to your mind saying, oh, I'm just dreaming or I'm just imagining this. Just write it down and don't stop writing. That's the point. That's the secret, really. Because with remote viewing, you have to be constant and fluid. Otherwise, if you stop, if there is more than a 3-second gap between the time that you're actually saying or writing down something, you're receiving information, and then for the next piece of information, you have actually lost the link and you need to step away from the situation. That's all that you have at that time.
I mean, John was saying about the military.
Yes. But really, you see, that's the way that they actually applied it was really to do with situations of positioning, situations to do with installations, where certain installations were, and they were using remote viewing to actually scan particular countries or areas of a country. Perhaps they would look at a map, first of all, and say, I want to go to this area, pinpoint an area, perhaps a square kilometer or something like that, or a square mile, and say, yes, well, I want to look at this area, please. And then they would go into this. It would usually be a room which it may be full of a lot of other people, of course, all doing the same thing. Your contact would not actually necessarily be interfered with by others in the room at the same time. So you could all actually, you could even have a room full of 20 people doing it at the same time, and they would make their own connections in whatever way they were able. It's quite an interesting study, really, and an interesting form of observing human behavior and what exactly will allow them to concentrate upon one given aspect, one given thing, you see? It's all about the concentration, really, and the absolution of being able to turn off the fully aware conscious state of your surroundings to allow the communication to take place.
John?
Gregory, can you see things that happened beforehand and things that after things happen, can you go back and look at them? And can you remote view into the future?
Well, yes, that's a different kettle of fish, my dear friend, because that actually requires slightly different avenues because you need to be able to break into the timeline, something, of course, that a lot of people are trying to do, even that we are trying to do at this moment in time. It's actually quite difficult. Some people are able to move into the timeline just by crossing through dimensions, but that really does depend upon not whether they are able to move through different dimensions, which requires a certain static field of or vibration index in able to do that, but it's in being able to correlate the information and bring it back in one piece. That really is part of the difficulty that human beings have with actually trying to move through the different timelines from a physical point of view, and either from that point of view or from a spiritual conscious effort. The situation perhaps from the point of view of us on our side of life is we have tried many experiments to do with visualization, perhaps to do with a physical realm or even elsewhere upon the physical planet. Sometimes it's possible, but at times we find that there is a refraction index which is quite difficult for those in the spirit world to actually truly view. And that is because of the fact of refraction, exactly the same as if you were looking at a fish at the bottom of a lake or something like that, or in a river, in a slow-moving river, and where you think the fish isn't actually where it is at all, but you're actually seeing it as refracted light moves, and your vision of the object is actually alterated by your proximity to it. And unless you actually move right up close to it and are beside it, you would not actually really correlate where it is in the time sequence or spatial index of that period of whatever the evolution was. So you would actually find, as we often do from our point of view, from our side of life, that if we look from the etheric world into somewhere else on the physical plane, it isn't necessarily where we think it is or where we see it, where we observe it. It may be even some miles away. It's actually because of this aberration of refracted light coming from the sun or coming from the moon or whatever it is. And what actually happens when we view something, it's like looking through water into the physical world. That's actually why we don't wholly see people as people, but we see them as energy and as auric field energy. That's something quite different. That is the reason for that is because it is based upon a different fractional index of light than that which exists in the physical plane. And that really is why people on the physical world only see people's auric identities when they are changing their intuitive state or their vibration index to allow them to do so. Otherwise, they wouldn't normally see it. Unless, of course, they were spiritually motivated to do that. Yes.
Okay, John.
Just one more question.
Okay, then.
When Spirit is asked to help somebody to do a remote viewing,
yes.
How does the Spirit get on his shoes, put on his jacket, and start running? Or how does it proceed in that?
Sorry, can you say that again, John?
The very last part, my friend. I didn't quite get it.
How does the Spirit proceed in helping somebody remote view?
Right.
Does
okay.
It fly
oh, yes,
there?
Very well.
Does
okay. Yes, I understand, friend. Thank you very much. How a spirit helps someone to remote view is quite simply that the human person will need to talk a little and to experiment a little with their development process. That means altering their vibration and to meet with, perchance, someone from the spirit world who will act as a guide and helper in this respect. No, it wouldn't be your doorkeeper because that job is already filled. It wouldn't be necessarily someone else who is to do with clairvoyance or something like that, perhaps because that is already a situation that takes up a lot of their time. So this would probably be someone else. And in this respect, what they would do is that they would actually bring through signature images of whatever the situation was, and that they would be able to do this by actually observing them themselves or actually collecting them themselves and bringing them through as images to you. So they will actually just place them there in your consciousness, or they may actually place words in your head, or they may actually just impress you through your sensitivity. And in exactly the same way that you would use clairaudience, clairsentience, clairvoyance, in whatever way that gift may transpire itself to you, and you may have part of all three or only one, it may well be that that is the way that they want to work, because that's a part of your gift that has already become developed, that has already been brought out. So it will actually be an easy route, and all that they will do is they will just bring these images to you in order to help you to understand the remote viewing possibility that you can see. Now, you may well have heard of people, a medium perhaps says, now I'm walking into your house and I turn left and I go in through the front door and I turn left and there's a hall, there's a staircase on the right and there is a mirror to the left and there are pictures, 1, 2, 3, and there's a child in one picture, a small dog in the other, and et cetera, et cetera. And it just goes on like that. And you actually... It's as though the medium actually takes a guided tour around your house and looks in your drawers and everything. And that is, of course, quite possible to do that, but it actually takes quite a bit of development to bring that about, and that is the development with that very specific helper who will actually bring that information. I understand that some people do that blindfolded as well, as a way of actually completely shutting out the outside external physical light to enable them to make the proper and established contact that they need to make. It really, they may be standing up at the time, of course, but it really enhances their ability because they are reflecting upon exactly the same situation that they were in developmental process. That is, they had their eyes closed.
Okay, thanks, John.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Happy Memorial Day. Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Thank you.
I believe there's someone else.
Oh, is there? Hello?
Oh, no, perhaps not.
No.
I thought there was.
Okay.
I had a sense there that there was another being.
Another caller, yeah. Okay.
Very well.
All right. So so you would have a different guide for different gifts and abilities.
Well, maybe. Possibly so, yes. It very much, of course, does depend upon the extent of it.
Yes, and I suppose, you know,
yes.
if you're going to be serious about this and really want to do this and the spirit world think that that you're serious enough about it to organise something specifically, then they will do that, won't they?
I mean, yes.
You know, so would you have to attune yourself more fully, you know, to the new guide, as in the meditation and the development process like you would for any of the other gifts of spirit?
It will depend entirely upon that availability, whether you can actually transition between your ordinary conscious state to accepting an intuitive state in that way. It isn't as intrusive as many people would think. It is really...
I'm sorry, excuse me.
No, please, cough away, friend. Have you finished? Not quite. Yes, please do. Water is so very good for you.
Oh, God. It was water that did it. Water did it in the first place.
Yes.
I'm sorry, go on.
No, please do not apologize. Are you all right now, friend?
I don't know.
Well, take another sip and make sure. You probably have a little bit, a bit like a bubble, which is stuck across your epiglottis, I believe, friend. That's why it feels a bit tickly at this moment in time.
Okay, I'm fine now. Sorry about that, everybody. Okay, you can carry on now.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much. Yes.
Okay, now, I'm going
to... I'm just playing with you, friend.
All right. Now, the thing is, the thing that baffles me is, if it was this easy, if it was as easy as everybody says, you know, when you do the research...
Yes.
Why
isn't everyone doing it?
Well, I mean, you know, you'd be winning the lottery, you know, you'd be rich from the stock market. Do you know what I mean? You'd be...
Yes.
Discovering the truth about so many things, solving crimes, finding missing persons. You'd be... Buried
yes.
treasure.
Yes, I understand
it's
that.
Endless.
But the point is, my friend, it's just a matter of applying yourself. That's the point we're trying to say here, that you can sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and say, I want to know about this. Say a subject, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Clear your mind of your material things to begin with before you do this. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You may actually even wish to meditate for a short while, 5 minutes or something like that. Nothing too heavy, nothing too deep. Just to clear out the residue of the thoughts of your day, of all of the worrisome things that you have going on in your life, or the not so, or even the flippant things, the ridiculous situations, whatever they are. Just leave those behind. Drink some water, of course, is always a good case for water. Any time of the day is a good case for water, really. Just do that, and then just open yourself up and say, right, I would like to know about this, please. And be ready with your pencil. And then, as soon as you have a thought, write it. Don't question it. If you question it, you'll lose the link. That's the point. That's something that you must remember. If you question, you lose.
How long should you wait for this thought? I mean...
Well, it doesn't really matter. I would have to say that perhaps you would sit there for maybe 5 or 7 minutes or something, and if you don't have that thought, then you haven't made the connection. It's as simple as that. So it would probably be a good idea then to go away and try again in a little while. That's all you have to do. You just have to keep trying at it to see how it progresses. And then what you will find, my friend, is that when you make a connection, you suddenly have an idea, and you write that idea down, and then you just keep on until you don't have any more ideas. It's as though you are keying into the superhighway of the spirit, what we like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're actually doing is you are engaging with someone, as I say, it doesn't have to have a name. The person doesn't have to have a name.
And you don't know, you don't have to necessarily feel them or sense them or anything.
No, indeed not. No, this is all about communication, period. That is it. That's all that you're doing, is bringing about communication. And the communication may be a process. I feel that your next question would be, well, how then would I know that that person is going to give me good information or not?
Mm-hmm.
That the person is going to be truthful or not? Quite simply because you will have to say to my highest guides and helpers, second to none, you would do this as a form of practice because you are wanting to be respectful of the contact you make. I know that the people who did remote viewing, who were connected to various armed forces or groups working on behalf of governmental departments, weren't doing that. And so that was actually a part of the reason, and incidentally they still use remote viewing now, and that of course is part of the reason why sometimes their information is incorrect, because they may make contact with people who are trying to make things difficult.
Well, absolutely, yes.
Yes.
I actually don't think that the number is very high. The percentage is very high anyway in that area for being a hit each time, sort of thing.
No, exactly so.
Accurate.
But the point, yes, but that's the point, you see, that what you have to do is establish a pattern. That's the important thing, is to establish a pattern. And gradually you will understand as to whether certain things are accurate or not. Do it with something which is quite normal and mundane to begin with. That's a good idea.
Well, this is it. Maybe we ought to say to our listeners that, after tonight's show, do some of this in the week and see if you get any better. If you do it every day.
Oh, yes, a few times a day.
A few times a day.
I'm saying that even if you are at work or something like that and you are just, instead of just doodling in the margin of your paper or whatever you're working on, that perhaps in a break you could just try it.
Mm.
Just try it out. And perhaps you could say, well, all right, then I would like to try to connect with someone and use that as a first treatment. Or perhaps you would like to connect with someone and, or perhaps a certain thing outside of your office. Perhaps it is to do with your home or to do with a friend's home. And that is probably a good idea, that you want to communicate with someone who is in their own house, that you know that they're in their own house perhaps,
mm-hmm.
and that you want to communicate with them as to what it is they are doing, what their actually activity is. And so you can use this as a starting point.
Because you can ask them if that's what they were doing.
Well, of course, yes.
Check. Yes, I mean, you've got to be able to check, obviously. So
obviously.
Think about it.
Yes, you need to verify it.
Yeah.
And that is the point, really. You need to be able to have verifiable evidence that what you're creating is a good link, you see? And then you will just use that as a platform to then develop it.
Mm.
And it's as simple as that, really.
Yes, as long as you ask, do your invocation to begin with.
Yes.
Asking for the highest and the best and the protection of your guides and helpers. So, you know, it's funny, when I first started going to spiritualist churches many moons ago,
yes.
They used to say that you should never ask for anything materialistic or anything that was to do with it, anything that could be classed as being self-centered, for self. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I understand
that. The guides are far, far beyond that. They wouldn't do that for you.
Yes, but that, my friend, is just like saying you must come and present a service for me for a cup of tea and a biscuit.
Well, yes, that's pretty much what it was like, yes. But,
well, exactly. So that is the mentality that you're dealing with. What I'm saying is that the situation is that there are beings in the spirit world who are there who want to help you. They want to help you in your physical life. That's it. They really want to help you. And so it is a matter for you to want to make contact with them and say, all right then, I am here. I wish to try to develop this form of gift of spirit I may have. The chances are that you will have it, because most people of the spirit world have that possession, have that as a part, a faculty of the individual spirit makeup. So, my friends, it is a situation that amounts to you having to make the effort, set aside a little bit of time to be able to do that.
And not worry over it. Well, yes, and okay, so virtually anybody can do it. But some obviously will be better than others.
Of course.
And
yes.
Also, it's down to how dedicated you are at practicing it, isn't it?
Yes, and it will be down to your connectivity, once again, with your spirit, with those in the ether world who may be prepared to help you, if there aren't any there who have this aspect or want to help you in this way, then you need to be able to fit to develop this as a natural extension of yourself. And in which case, my friends, you need to put a little bit more work into it than those who already perhaps have their gifts already laid out for them and for whom this really would be not of an essence of difficulty for their lives.
If you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject of remote viewing, then the lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And if you're an international caller with an insomnia, it's 001-530-876-3222. So you sit down with a paper and pen, so you might actually write words or you might draw a picture?
Yes, absolutely so. Yes, and some would say, well, this is just absent-minded doodling, but actually it isn't. It's making the connection. And what you have to understand is that this is a mindset. This is all about the mindset. So if you have a mind that you want to create this and you want to develop it and make that form of contact, then, as I say, you have to put the work in to be able to do it, to extend yourself in that way. It may be that, to begin with, the situation isn't very fluent. But as I said to our dear friend John earlier on, that the situation is that if you wait more than 3 seconds for the fluidity to continue, you have most probably lost the link, and that you should stop and then wait a few minutes, and then try to reassert the link either with the same situation or with a different situation. Usually it works that you have to go to a different situation, and then perhaps you may be drawn back to the previous link that you had lost earlier on, later on in the situation.
I mean, if you think about it, it is going to take a little while because your guide has to train and learn how to do it as well and be able to become closer to you in your vibration.
Yes, but it isn't only to do with that. Sometimes it may well be that you have a slight change in state of consciousness whereby an aspect of your consciousness actually departs your auric field, as it were, and goes and looks at, observes this different situation yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, in which case you're not going to do that at work in your break, are you?
And certainly not whilst operating machinery.
No, quite. So, everybody's going to be slightly different, and you're going to know when it's working for you. And what time of day and situation is the best for you, really?
Yes, absolutely so.
I mean, obviously, when you're feeling relaxed will be a lot easier.
Obviously, yes.
I mean, the reading about this, they call it the scientifically developed skill. Is there a situation where it can be nothing to do with a guide and the spirit world?
Well, they would say that because
is that possible?
No.
No.
Well, the point is that it is all about the situation, the state of consciousness, and whether you are actually allowing yourself to be open to be able to view elsewhere. The situation always comes down to whether the mind is so busy that it will not interact with this state of consciousness, in which case, yes, people may voice it and say that it is of a scientific basis, which of course it is. Changing and altering your state of mind is a scientific matter of fact. It is quite simply put that it takes effort and energy and requires your relativity to where you are in existence of your consciousness now to where you wish to view. And that, of course, includes the process of one and one. So it means to say that you are observing self where you are now, and you are connecting with an energy that, and be it, you may call it your own energy. It doesn't really matter. It's all semantics, really. It just means that you are calling something a spade when it's really a trowel, or whatever. You're just figuratively calling it something else. People may have that connotation in their life. And that is all well and good. It really doesn't matter.
Some people might find that they can do it randomly.
Yes.
And, you know, at times when they're not even trying to do it, particularly with the, like you say, looking into the timeline sort of thing.
Oh, yes, absolutely so.
Looking into somebody's house or some situation.
Yes, or even people looking or absent-mindedly perhaps browsing and finding that they have actually connected with a real-time event.
Yes, quite.
Which is quite typical that people within their conscious state will be able to do. This is actually creating a connection, not necessarily with the spirit world as such, but what's happened is that a parsec of your consciousness has become engaged with the mindset of someone else who is living a certain situation. And that's actually what happens, that at times, because remember, my dear friends, everyone, every single being in physical life is related. You are related to a worm, or you are related to a woodlouse. I believe that they call it something else here in the Americas. You are related to a beetle. You are related to an ant. You are all interrelated to one another in different ways. You are only just a few short segments away in your DNA from all of life that exists in physical Earth. That means that you have the possibility of engaging with other lives and engaging with that possibility to actually view that life and what they are actually going through at the time. Some people actually may even suddenly find that they are some sort of animal being ripped apart by something else, or, you see, actually have that kind of experience. Not very pleasant, of course. But that is what I mean, that there is a whole different cosmos of energy which exists just outside your periphery. And it is a matter of what vibration you connect to. Naturally, if you are meditating regularly, if you are extending and creating wellness within your vibration, then the energy you will connect with will be something that is not hostile, hopefully, but that is something which will be bearing information. It may actually be information about the passing of someone else's life. It may be actually to do with some other situation which a person really needs to have help with, or that they're perhaps going through some other situation. Perhaps they're going through a very loving feeling within their own family environment. Perhaps you suddenly find that you're observing someone's wedding or something like that. It can be quite obscure. You don't necessarily need to know the people, or you do not necessarily need to know the life of this cat as it's licking milk out of its bowl, or whatever it is, or water. You see, it's that human beings can do that because they are connecting with their connectivity of their superconsciousness. And that is exactly what people do in the spirit world, using thought form to use that contact. People in physical reality can pick up these thought forms and write them down. And you find that you are writing down very, very quickly. It is usually very rapid. In exactly the same way, perhaps, as some forms of early forms of spirit contact have been through precipitation drawing and painting, like we were talking about before. The Bang sisters, of course, were very notable at this. And actually, I know this isn't quite remote viewing, but it is that same connectivity to do with the spirit world. And actually, it superseded their own intention in the end. And all they had to do was just sit there and provide the energy, while the spirit world created the artistry in front of them and in front of many hundreds of people.
Well, I know, I think probably many people will know somebody that says that they've had a dream where they've seen a disaster.
Oh, yes, absolutely so.
But sometimes they may not know where it's going to be specifically.
Yes.
And then it's on the news the next day or the day after that, and it's described to a T.
Yes.
Is that something that maybe that person could develop
first? Yes, absolutely, yes.
And should.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Without a doubt, yes, because that is something in great demand. The point is that that person has perhaps lost the contact or perhaps was disturbed by the images that they saw.
Mm.
And that in itself can alter your vibration and you lose the contact. The contact's broken because of your depleted energy at what you saw. The situation is that if you are going to do this, you have to remain impassive to a certain extent. That doesn't mean to say you're cold or emotionless.
No.
But it means to say that if you really want to connect in this way, that that's what you have to do. You have to treat it as a different form of application of your mind, and that it is just as real as you boiling an egg or eating salad or taking a bus ride, you see.
So what should that person do? Should that person meditate to attune to guides again in that way?
Well, yes, possibly so. Or rather, they should actually have carry about with them a pencil and a piece of paper so that if at any time when they are remotely observant, that means that they are not consciously aware, not concentrating on one specific thing, but perhaps being in a state of absent-mindedness. And so you are just, in a sense, your mind is not fixated upon one specific object, but you're just really meandering in thought. And that is usually a very good time to be able to connect with this form of energy, to perhaps ask for this kind of contact.
Well, the thing is, once you've had that in your dream state, you know that they can actually bring it to you. All you need
yes.
to create is that space in your mind. So,
yes, and of course, don't forget to actually say, oh, yes, I can see that, thank you very much. And it is also a very good idea sometimes for a person to actually say out loud what they can see.
Hmm.
You won't generally disturb the vibration, but it is very good to be able to voice it in physical state, because then whoever may be working with you is actually understanding that this is something which is bringing connectivity to you in a physical level as well as a conscious level, you see?
Mm, absolutely.
So it means that they're actually getting through.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay, well, we've almost run out of time.
Yes.
So basically, then we need to, for people to do this, and we'll have a little experiment and see if anybody can phone us up next week to tell us how you got on.
Yes, absolutely so. As I say, perhaps try this on with a friend in order to maybe make the connectivity.
Sit down with a paper and pen.
Yes. And just try to connect with them, with their living space, with the person that you know. Wait until you can see them in your mind or something like that, or perhaps you feel a sense of their voice or their presence in some way. And then, when a thought comes, just write it and don't stop.
And we're talking, just in case somebody's just joined us, we're talking about living people, people who are
alive. Oh, yes, absolutely
now.
So. Yes, okay. yes, absolutely so. We're talking about ordinary living people. It doesn't mean to say that that person is actually figuratively connecting with you or that they're trying to send you a message. We're not trying to do that. That's a psychic experiment. This isn't a psychic experiment. It's a step into the continuum of time. And what you are doing is creating an application of that connection, and you are establishing it by doing that, and you are just going to write down the very thoughts and feelings that come into your mind. Perhaps it is of a view, a vista, perhaps it's of a room, something like that. You don't have to be familiar with anything to do with this person's dwelling. In fact, it's actually probably better if you're not that consumed by pre-thought to do with that person already.
Yes, absolutely. Because then you will just imagine them in their kitchen or whatever.
Yes, exactly. You already know the layout and everything else. It will destroy it.
Yes. So.
Although, of course, you may actually want to do that and you just want to describe a certain activity that they're doing. And that may be a way of connecting for you.
Okay.
So we don't rule everything out.
No, absolutely. As long as you can test it afterwards.
Yes, that's the point.
To see if you were right or not.
Absolutely so.
And then keep doing that all week. And then next week, we'll see if anybody calls in to find out how they got on.
Absolutely so.
Okay.
Marvellous. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much, Gregory.
Then with love and light.
God bless.
Thank you so, Fred. God bless.